cheetah with a hat full of napalm. I'm a runaway son of a nuclear A-bomb. I am a world's forgotten boy, the one who searches and destroys. Somebody gotta help me, please. Somebody gotta save my soul. Baby, destiny for me. Ow! Look out, honey, 'cause I'm using technology.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to CITR 101.9 FM radio, broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam Indigenous people. And my name is Jack Campbell, and you are listening to Breaking Barriers, Thursdays at 10 a.m. It is February 13th, and for those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, Breaking Barriers is dedicated to exploring post-1955 music in modern new music, classical idioms, in improvisatory free jazz idioms, and in any sort of experimental underground rock and roll or electronic flavor I can find. And for the second time this year, 2025, I am in the studio with videographer, photographer, album cover designer, director of Vancouver Review, and former CITR New Music Program host, Mark Machette. Mark, welcome back, man.
Hey, good to be here again.
So, as I did last time Mark was on this program, Mark has impeccable taste, and he has curated the track list for today. And we're going to try something really fun here, where we're going to play three tracks by different performers, different composers from different records that all have a common thread. And Mark right now is going to introduce them to you and talk about them, and then we're going to play them back to back without stop, and then we will reflect on what we've just heard. So, Mark, what's in the docket?
Well, this is going to go in an interesting curve shape, I think, and in terms of the overall hour, in terms of what I've brought along. But I just heard these three tracks when I was pulling things off the shelf today. For some reason, I listened to these three in sequence, and I don't know why entirely they work well together, but they do, I think. One of which is a new recording I just got of a minimalist masterpiece by Simeon ten Holt, a Dutch composer, who did a piece quite well known called Canto Ostinato, which was originally written for four pianos, and which I first heard when Vancouver New Music staged it a number of years ago. But there's several variations of it. It's, when you hear it, you'll hear that it's quite easy to imagine on other instruments. It's been recorded with marimba, with electric piano, and with harp. And I have a couple of recordings now of the harp variant. This is by a Dutch harpist named Gwyneth Wentink. I think I've got the pronunciation right. Certainly I know Gwyneth. The second name, it's Dutch. It's W-E-N-T-I-N-K. It's just out on Signum Classics, and she does what appears to be a truncated version of Canto Ostinato, which I think is like an hour long at least, or maybe even 2 hours. Anyway, for solo harp, this version, we have sections 1 to 16 that lasts about 7 minutes long, and it's a beautiful recording. And I thought I would follow that up with a local artist. They're called The Giving Shapes, and they consist of Robin Jacob and Elisa Thorne. And there's a...
Both very fine musicians.
Yeah, and this CD is called Earth Leaps Up. I came across it online. It came out in 2020, so during the pandemic, and I looked for it and looked for it, and I sort of gave up after a while. And then I went to a performance where Lee Hutzelak and Elisa and J.P. Carter were performing down in Chinatown. And I came up to her and I said, hey, what about that CD? And she happened to have one in her car, and she went and got it for me. So in addition to a very beautiful cover, there's a great track on it that I liked right away, and it's called Sightlines. And I'm not trying to equate stylistically here, because this is more of chamber pop kind of thing. But it went beautifully with Canto Ostinato, so I was going to follow up that with this piece from the Giving Shapes album, Earth Leaps Up. And for the third track, John Cale from the Velvet Underground. You probably haven't heard what he's been doing for the last little while, because it seems to get no traction. But he's got a new album out. It's called Poptical Illusion. It's not a great cover, I must say, and I forget the title all the time. But The collection of songs is really one of his best in a long time, and I think he's about 82 right now. He never gives up, and this one is a beauty. So,
and for those who are not familiar with John Cale, he is the notorious experimental violist. He's very known for using experimental techniques on the viola and alternate tunings on the viola. Probably most known for, as Mark was saying, his collaborations with the Velvet Underground. And from that original sort of New York experimental scene, he's since branched out into very experimental, I guess you could say, pop music, and also worked in the avant-garde classical idiom for a very long while. And perhaps, as Mark was sort of alluding to, the thing that has done him the most disservice is he very rarely has good production quality or good releases, even though he's a genius of an artist. And this record is receiving rave reviews all over the place, and I'm really ecstatic that Mark had a copy of it, because I've been wanting to play it on this show since it came out.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, I went down, I've seen Cale a few times. I saw him in the early and then mid-80s when he was doing his solo tours, and he was great. A little erratic sometimes, but in 87 he really cleaned up. He literally had a row of Perrier bottles on the piano when he played Club Soda, which I have a photo of him doing Fear is a Man's Best Friend.
What is Club Soda, Mark?
Club Soda was a nightclub, also known as the Starfish Room, also known as the Quadra Club, going back to the late 70s. And Cale played there solo in, I'm pretty sure it was 87. He also played, speaking of 1986, as we did in the last show, he played a beautiful set at the Town Pump with Chris Spedding, which was next level. And then after that, we didn't see him much, but he played Seattle at the Showbox in 2012. And by that time, he was, I guess, 70 or maybe 72 years old. And I went down to Seattle to see it. And he was on, he had an album called Adventures in Naughty Wood or something like that. And I bought the album and I went, yeah, no, this is not cutting it. I don't even know if there's one strong track on it. But I went down to see him anyway. And in fact, what the set was a ripping band of him and a bunch of 20-year-old crack musicians doing his hottest 70s stuff for like 2.5 hours. It was amazing.
Sounds magical.
It was great. So he's kind of all over the map, and you never know what he's going to do. So I was really pleased when this came out. He's always, in recent years, he's tended towards photos of himself playing around with fashion and hairstyles, which I just, you know, stick to the music. And this is a good one, I think. A lot of memorable tunes on it, a lot of ones that if they're not memorable, they will grow on you. He references his old work throughout in very playful ways, and a lot of it is self-produced. So, I could have played any one, but I just stuck the first track on the end of this set, and it's called God Made Me Do It, Don't Ask Me Again.
What a fantastic title. So, this is CITR 101.9 FM Radio, Breaking Barriers program. Broadcasting from the traditional unceded and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations people, my name is Jack Campbell. I'm in the studio with my guest, Mark Mouchette. Stay tuned for this 3-track set from different performers and composers, canvassing a wide variety of nuanced avant-garde media. And welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM radio. You are listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, Thursdays at 10 a.m. I'm in the studio with Mark Machette, my friend, my colleague. Mark did the cover and typography for my last record with Hank Bull. We also are doing some video work together. And Mark is a videographer, a photographer, and artistic director of Vancouver Review, and a former CITR New Music Program host. And this is our second episode together, and we're having a lot of fun. And actually, for the first time in Breaking Barriers history, because I usually talk before every track, you just heard a compilation of three pieces of music by different artists and composers that blended into each other so beautifully. So, Mark, can you just remind the listeners what we just heard?
Yeah, the first was a harp rendition of a classic minimalist piece for originally four pianos by Simon ten Holt, who is a Dutch minimalist composer who died a few years ago and sort of enjoyed a bit of a revival. Vancouver New Music put on a performance of Cantoist Ostinato for four pianos, probably about, God, it's got to be going on 10 years now, and that's when I first heard it. In the meantime, it's been recorded by a number of other people with different arrangements, this one for solo harp by a, I believe, a Dutch harpist who's now playing, or now based in London. Her name is Gwyneth Wentink, I believe that is the pronunciation, and it's a new release on Signum Classics, and it's a beautiful recording. So I coupled that with one from a local duo featuring Robin Jacob and Alyssa Thorne. They go by the name of The Giving Shapes, and they have an album called Earth Leaps Up, and that was a track called Sightlines, which I believe that Alyssa is playing piano and harp on that track, but kind of went together. And then following that up was a new one from the John Cale album, Poptical Illusion, which is a very late career gem from the Velvet Underground co-founder. And the piece was called God Made Me Do It, Don't Ask Me Again. A really strong album, mostly him with one or two other players, sort of produced, I guess, in his home studio. There's about 60 minutes worth of music. If you're a John Cale fan, you know he's had his ups and downs on the quality control, especially in recent years, but this one is a very strong return to form. So very happy to see him back in the fold, and I don't know why that one sort of went together.
Well, as you listen, you can hear that they really did. Now, we're about to go in a completely different direction. Now, if you're a regular listener to Breaking Barriers, you know that I am primarily a modern classical music nut. I love the old serialist stuff, you know, the Boulez and the Stockhausen, and then the people that came after him, like Xenakis and Ligeti. And I like the spectralists like Kaija Saariaho, and I have a penchant for minimalism. So basically, if it's any sort of 1955 class post-classical music, it's my jam. And I also have an adoration of free jazz, whether it's Ornette Coleman or Albert Eiler, and then some of the improvisatory music ensembles like AMM and CCMC, where you can't even really define it. But there are some, I don't know, maybe you'd say that they kind of fit into the rock and roll umbrella, but post-punk industrial groups that just absolutely are so inspiring to me. My particular favorites, and which I play frequently on this program, are Public Image Limited, Television, Sonic Youth, and Einstitzede Neubauten. Now, of course, that's about as varied a selection as you can get. But any sort of, you know, music that's orchestrated for a rock band that involves unorthodox harmony and technique and orchestration just fascinates me. And I know that, especially in terms of the post-punk scene, this is something that Mark loves and was there for when it was new and fresh and hip. And we're about to play something that is based on a band called Throbbing Gristle. Now, Mark is the first person that ever introduced me to this band, and I started listening to it, and I thought...
Sorry about that.
Yeah, and I thought, oh my God, what is this sonic monstrosity? But, you know, I remember reading something about Henry Rollins, where he said, you know, with the Ramones, you have to listen to their first record 3 times before you get it. So I listened to Throbbing Gristle 3 times, and then I did get it. And if you know anything about this band, you'll know that I think the term provocateur, Mark, do you think that might fit in?
Well, you know, I mean, when we talk about rock music and whatnot, my first concert was Led Zeppelin in 1975.
Mine was Wilco in 2006.
Well, you know, that's not bad. And you know, I mean, I grew up in the primarily consuming music in the 70s as a kid. We were very young. But, you know, I had to sit through a 3-hour Led Zeppelin concert complete with, you know, a gigantic drum solo from John Bonham. And it felt bloated, even as a 12-year-old, which is how old I was at that concert. I went, yeah, they've kind of jumped the shark. And so I kind of went off after that. And, I listened to Pink Floyd and all that kind of stuff. So when punk and post-punk came along, you know, it's interesting that I got into bands like Magazine, which were then later derided as the Punk Floyd. and Throbbing Gristle were on another level together. And groups like the Lemon Kittens, I mentioned earlier, Daniela Dax and Carl Blake. I actually got a death threat when I played that on the radio one time, when I played a track from Weep Iyer.
So far, I haven't received any death threats for playing stuff on the radio. My email is jack.m.campbell@icloud.com if anybody has issues with my taste.
There's 3 dots in there. Most killers can only do 2, so you're safe. Throbbing Gristle were provocateurs. They came from a kind of an unschooled performance art background. A lot of the work does not hold up, I must say, from their early days. And like a lot of the industrial stuff, a lot of it doesn't hold up. But I do think some of Throbbing Gristle's best stuff is still holds an unquestionable power.
And didn't you once write a literary piece calling them the last great rock and roll band?
A literary piece? No, I might have just said that on Facebook. No, I say that semi-jokingly. A friend of mine, Alex Douglas, who used to co-host a show on Co-op Radio, Alien Soundtracks with Peter Moser, we'd occasionally guest on each other's shows, and Alex actually went down to see Throbbing Gristle's last performance in San Francisco in 1981. There's a famous clip of that online where they performed Discipline at the Khazar Pavilion. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, I missed that. But that was a you-had-to-be-there moment, because I can imagine how muddy the sound was, how violent the whole setup was. But, you know, it was the kind of thing that when you were a kid, I mean, we went to Led Zeppelin, we went to those concerts, there was always a sense of excitement because you never knew what would happen.
And if anybody wants to know more about that, you can read Mark's piece in the Tyee newspaper about the Subhumans.
Yeah, that was a fun one, too. I mean, I love the Subhumans live. And that was about the same time, you know. It was in high school. It was like Throbbing Gristle's Heathen Earth. Locally, it would be the Subhumans and the Young Canadians and that kind of thing. But, you know, simultaneously, you're secretly refining your tastes and learning to like contemporary classical and all the rest of it.
Ligeti and...
Ambient and whatever else. It was just a bright new world. So... Basically, and also Chris and Cozy were half of Throbbing Gristle, and they wound up staying with us when they came here in the mid-80s. But they were the more melodic side of Throbbing Gristle. Chris Carter used to build his own synthesizers. He was a big ABBA fan. You know, and Peter Christopherson of the group used to, in fact, he worked on some of the Pink Floyd album covers. He worked with Hypnosis. So there's a lot of mixed up, you know, time periods there, really.
Absolutely. So what are we going to hear now, Mark?
So, I haven't really, you know, these all sort of run together, but they're electronic ambient remixes of Throbbing Gristle classics. And it's actually a very light and pleasant ambient smattering of Throbbing Gristle tunes. And if you know the original tunes, it'll It'll put a smile on your face. He's basically slightly retitled them. So Convincing People is now known as Convicting People. Hot on the Heels of Love is now known as Not on the Heels of Love, and so forth. So
what are we going to hear now?
Well, let's try one of their big pop tunes, as as relative as that is, Not on the Heels of Love, which is track 5 from Electronic Ambient Remixes 3 by Chris Carter.
Thank you. Knock, knock. Guess who? MRG Live coming right back at you, this time with a whole new list of upcoming live shows by your favorite artists. Hear this. Marika Hackman, Faye Webster, Empress Of, Peter Cat Recording Co., and The Rare Occasions are a few of the artists MRG Live is bringing to you. Follow at MRG Live Official on Instagram to stay tuned with all the artists performing near you.
What a lovely Vancouver summer night. I can't wait to sit by myself at the beach and look at my phone. Huh? What's that?
Man, what are you doing? Get over here and come jam.
Wow, what a lovely assortment of musicians. What are you guys doing?
This is E-Studio. We come together and build connections over music. No musical experience needed. Just come socialize and build your confidence playing music if that's your thing.
Wow, this is so awesome. Now I have a real-life connections with Vancouver's international community of musicians and creatives. Thank you, E-Studio. E-Studio is an international jam group where we celebrate music from all around the world and play together. Follow us on Instagram at estudio.cafe, estudio.cafe.
Looking for an audio escape to put your mind at ease? Landscapes by Dune is a musical journey through sampling and field recording. From the busy streets of Toronto to BC's picturesque landscapes, the Belgian artist recorded an array of sounds during his travels across Canada. Landscapes will be released on Pop Guitari Records Bandcamp on December 8th and will be available on all streaming platforms on December 15th. For more information, check out at Dune as Dune on Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
Please fall into a deep, comfortable state of sleep, and then have a friend or associate play the audio.
I think you should straighten up a little bit. I think you should, you should look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and say, look, what am I doing? Why am I this way? You need a kick in the ass once in a while.
Fridays from 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m., it's the Beppy Creston Presents radio show. It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format. Difficult music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut-up, collage, and general Creston weirdness. Beppy Creston Presents.
And welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM Radio. You are listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, which broadcasts live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam Indigenous people. I am here in the studio today with Mark Mouchette, and Mark has been curating the playlist for today, and we've just heard two very distinct pieces of music, which we blended into each other. So, Mark, tell us what we've just heard.
Well, the first piece, and I used to do this all the time, bring things out, and it would go on, and I think, you know what? What if I drop this song completely unrelated onto the back of that one, see how it goes, and just, you know, cross-genre sort of stuff. It's an interesting way of discovering things and making unexpected connections. So the first was Chris Carter's electronic ambient remixes of Throbbing Gristle tunes. We heard a version of what can be described as their best attempt at a pop tune called Hot on the Heels of Love. He's renamed it as Not on the Heels of Love. And that drifted into a piece I discovered recently, thanks to CITR. And that was a Montreal-based artist named Pierre Quenders. And I believe the show was all about African hip-hop stuff coming out of Montreal. And so this is an outlier piece on the album. But the album is called Jose Luis and the Paradox of Love. Came out a couple of years ago. And the piece I heard on the radio in the car while driving along Pacific Avenue, and it was sunny out, and CITR was coming through unusually clear, And it was, this music came on. It was just fantastic. It was just what I needed to hear. And it's called Church, and it's, hard to explain the impact it had, because it was in a long mix of music. It was in about a 20 or maybe half hour mix of music, and I always knew, oh yeah, it's going to be hard to find out what this was. So I literally put my phone on SoundHound or whatever it was, and it nailed it for me. I looked into it and bought the CD, and then I found out he was playing at the Biltmore. And I went to the Biltmore concert. It was fantastic. So, great time. Anyway, I thought they went together. You'll hear it on the other end and can decide for yourself. But, placing that beside the Throbbing Gristle remix is kind of an odd thing to do, but we'll see how it goes.
And, Mark, you were a CITR disc jockey. What was your program called again?
It was actually called Fast Forward at the time. It was because I had a lot of material submitted on cassette. And so I had two cassette players. I got stuff from around the world, including Chris and Cozy from Throbbing Gristle. A lot of people sent stuff to me, and there was an underground cassette movement at the time. I think it's a terrible medium. I think it's unfortunate that it's being revived, because it was very difficult to work with. It was very flawed.
Some things are best to let sleep.
Yeah, I mean, if we'd had CDs at the time. The last time I did a show at CITR was, I think, 2012 or thereabouts, and there were two CD players and a decent mixing desk. That was sort of more my speed. I just can't believe we did all that, all those shows with all those cassettes. So, Fast Forward was the title. Would I name it that again, even if I were using cassettes? Probably not, but it worked at the time.
And how long did your show run, man?
82 to 87, so good 5 years.
And, you've told me some stories about that time, but the ones that stick out in my mind are something about diesel buses, North Vancouver, and record bags.
Oh, yeah. I had a girlfriend in 82 who, she made this embroidered record-carrying bag, because I had to, at the time I lived in Lynn Valley, and I'd gone to school at Argyle, and I had to do this show at UBC, and if you know how far that is, and the time frame, it was basically a diesel bus trip. Oddly enough, it was fairly efficient. If I recall, it maybe only took an hour, and I would get the bus at Lynn Valley Road and Mountain Highway with a bag full of records and go down to Phibbs Exchange and get the bus over the bridge and out to UBC. And of course, it was late Sunday night, so I usually had to find some place to crash before I made my way back to North Van.
Oh, the golden glory days of CITR.
Well, you have to have a certain level of dedication to do that.
And who were the other classical programmers at the time?
Oh, at the time I met Paris Simons, who, of course, as you know, we're good friends, and he is now working with the VSO. And he got me involved with Friends of Chamber Music and basically pushed me towards more traditional classical music, which I told him back then, yeah, I'll get to it maybe. by the time I'm middle-aged, probably be about the right time. And that's exactly how it played out.
Well,
I'm always grateful to Paris for pushing me in that direction.
There's an old saying that men over 50 become interested in Haydn. Are you interested in Haydn yet, or are you still discovering...
With Friends of Chamber Music, Haydn is often first on the bill, and I find it kind of lightweight. There's usually three pieces performed by a lot of the great string quartets that Friends of Chamber Music brings. And often the most demanding piece will be the second before the intermission. They often start with Haydn to get warmed up, and then they'll do a Shostakovich or
Britten or
whatever it may be, and then it's intermission, and then you get sort of, in terms of demanding, I don't know, something slightly less demanding. Maybe they'll play late period Beethoven would be pretty demanding, but, you know, it's Haydn.
And one thing that anybody who's listened to this show for the last year and a bit knows is that I only play music that is post-1955, especially as of late. And it is important to recognize that there is a wealth, an absolute treasury, one of the greatest treasure troves in the history of culture of the world, which is the classical music canon. And none of the modernist classical music that I play on this show would be possible if it weren't for a centuries-old lineage of old masters to today. And you can hear this reverberate around any sort of music at all, even in the pop, canon, because music has a direct lineage and a direct history, and it is important to cherish and celebrate that while also looking toward the sounds of tomorrow.
And also say about that, you know, the other thing is early music. There's a lot of early music that that for some reason appealed to new music people. They sort of like miss the classical period. They go right back to the early works.
And well, I'm one of those people myself. I mean, I enjoy my Beethoven and select works of Mozart, and aside from that, I skip the Romantic era entirely, and I go to the 20th century or to Renaissance and medieval choral music.
Yeah, and that was also that became cited by some underground artists as well, there was that period, in, I guess, in the 90s when people started to sample Gregorian chant and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, the fact that Arvo Pärt was very influenced by that, and he's Björk's favorite composer. Yeah. I mean, these patterns, you can find them all over the place. And with that, we're going to close this episode. This is February 13th, 2025, the sixth episode of Breaking Barriers so far in this new year. And thank you so much for listening. We are Thursdays at 10 a.m. exploring music of 1955 and afterwards, particularly in classical media, improvisatory, avant-garde jazz, and electronica, and experimental underground rock and roll. And today we've had a curated playlist by Vancouver-based videographer, photographer, album cover designer, Vancouver Review artistic and creative director, and former CITR host from the 1980s of Fast Forward, my friend and colleague, Mark Machette. This is our second episode together, and we're having a lot of fun, so hopefully it won't be the last, eh, Mark?
Yeah, no, I look forward to more. I just want to say something about this last one. You talked earlier about the videos. I've been working with this fellow, Tom Mellick, who's based in Brooklyn now. He was, I think he's originally from Minnesota or maybe Michigan, and then he settled up in the Northwest, and he did these beautiful sort of ambient scuffed soundscapes. I was put onto him by Scott Morgan, who's known in town as Lossel, does a lot of electronic music, roughly in the ambient genre. And we've gotten to know each other and work on a few videos. But he's also got this sort of stream of pop music, which he's been producing lately. And one just came out last summer, which has been my go-to album all summer. It was going through my mind the entire year. And it's kind of a duet with Raphael Anton Irisarry, who is a producer in New York. And the drummer on this is, I think it's Simon Scott from a group called Slow Dive, which was sort of a shoegaze band at one point, so-called shoegaze band. Anyway, Thomas is a great writer of very atmospheric, richly detailed and ornamented pop songs that are really often quite heartbreaking. This, as a duo, they released an album called, they called themselves Orcas, and the album is called How to Color a Thousand Mistakes. And the track that I, all of them are strong, but the one I, for some reason, came to today was Next Life.
Beautiful. And as Mark and I were saying today, while these beautiful records were playing, you know, we're lucky people to live where we do and to be able to have access to this music. And, you know, there's just so much chaos and strife and disaster happening in the world these days. But when you look at the brilliance of the human imagination and the beauty of what we can produce and how, I mean, you know, I am a performer and a composer myself, as you know, but to me, the greatest joy in my life is to just either perform or create or put on music that introduces me to something beautiful or interesting that I haven't heard before. And I think if we can take that spirit and keep listening to music, which in itself, I truly believe that listening to music that is created with a progressive musical stream in mind is an act of protest. And if we can keep that torch burning, that'll sincerely help with all the problems we have going forward in this world.
Fair point.
All right, this is Breaking Barriers, Thursdays, 10 a.m., CITR 11.9 FM radio, broadcasting from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam Indigenous peoples. Thank you so much for listening. Join me next week. Thanks to Mark. Keep listening to weird music. Thanks again.
Thanks Bye. For having me.